You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
Hello.
Hello. This is Jessica speaking to you on behalf of Breadline.
And this is Daryl here.
Yes.
Speaking
to you also. Thanks very much for all that applause, everyone out there.
Yeah.
And, we've got a quite packed show here for you today. First of all, happening right now, it's the International Transgender Day of Visibility, and there's a protest happening. Well, it's happening right now. It's got started at 5:30 down at the State Library. So it's got a lot of strong demands here. It's being organised by a grassroots collective of trans people who are taking their movement back and defending community. And they're saying things like no right to discriminate, eliminate the laws which permit discrimination, no pride in detention, abolish prisons and mandatory detention, go for that, no pride in stolen land, decolonisation and Aboriginal sovereignty, expand trans health care, and also communities, not cops, disarming and defunding the police. Yay.
Oh, sounds like they got their plate full there.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, it's good to know that that's happening right at this moment, right as we're speaking. So we are the show of the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We are very keen to hear from anyone who may be listening or who may be friends of listeners who are having trouble with their job centre, with their claims. There are a lot of great people you can talk to, like the people we always advertise on a community service announcement later, which we will be doing. But there's also the fact that the union has, and at the moment, an email that you can email straight away if you have those problems. And it's advocacy@auw.org.au.
That's the one. Yeah.
That's right. And we will soon hope that we'll be having our live advice line which you can actually ring and talk to people, which I think makes a big difference. And
yeah,
Daryl used to work on that. So I just wanted to mention, I'm on the age pension and I live in Wonthaggi down in South Gippsland. A lot of people go, what, where's Wonthaggi? But it's actually, I usually mention that it's near Phillip Island, and they go, oh, yeah, penguins, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I looked at that on the map today. That's a long way.
Yeah, that's right.
Gee.
And so I just come in and do the show because I love 3CR, and I also am really committed to our union. And same with you, Daryl.
I don't live so far away. I'm just in Fitzroy. Yeah, I've been unemployed for a few years because... You know, who wants to employ someone that's 60 and over, you know, so like, there's a lot of us now.
But there's plenty of good things to do also when you haven't got a job.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look,
like music
so busy.
And...
Yeah, the music, well, this radio show, you know.
That's right.
Takes at least 3 or 4 days to organise the next show.
And Daryl keeps track of every piece of music we've played on the show, so that's very handy.
Well, I wouldn't want you playing one of my Beethoven pieces by mistake.
Oh, right, and doubling up. I think I did that once. Yes.
No, three times, according to my records.
Oh, right. Say no more. So the big thing that the union's organising at the moment is a protest against, to call for the abolishing of work for the dole. Of course, that's one of our key demands, as well as abolishing mutual obligations. And... it's actually this year, 9 years since Josh Park Fing died on a Work for the Dole site up in Toowoomba in Queensland.
Mm.
And so, as usual, we still extend our sympathy to his family because they lost their son, on something that he was actually coerced into doing,
which he didn't have to do at all, did he?
That's right. People who don't have, as we know, you're forced to work for free. We know that there are warehouses tucked around in the outer suburbs of Melbourne where people are sorting pullovers for op shops. We know that kind of thing goes on. And I wanted to mention as well. I've got no idea if it's linked to any kind of coercive mutual obligations, but someone died in one of our local op shops in Wonthaggi this last week. And I just wondered, she's 60 plus, that's about all I know. And I just wonder if she was actually there of her own free will, volunteering because she wanted to volunteer, or whether she was doing it because she had to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty made me really angry when I heard that, and also sad for her and her family. Yeah, so Josh was just 18 years old when he was thrown from a trailer at the Toowoomba Showgrounds, and then he sustained head injuries and died. And as we say always to members, you have the right to do training or study or to do a voluntary activity instead. But unfortunately, people do get coerced into work for the dole. After they've been on the dole for 6 months, that's when the pressure comes up.
Well, they're not told about their options, are they?
No, that's right. He also was actually injured earlier on. He suffered a back injury as well, but the job agency said that there was nothing they could do, and that's again completely
wrong. Nothing they could do, Nothing and they wanted to do.
That's right, nothing they could be bothered doing. So, yeah, the Department of Employment is responsible for overseeing job agencies. And so, of course, they're not doing their job, but they're forcing other people to sort of work for nothing for these charities. And again, if you don't understand this, or if you're sort of willfully ignorant, you would think, oh, it's not work for the dole. Well, after all, it could lead to a job. Good point, Daryl, because
ask anyone who's experienced work for the dole.
That's right. Actually, I've got the stat here, which is from 2022. Only 4% of the people who did work for the dole actually got a job from the program.
Really?
Yeah, but so that's and 97% of the people taking part did not want to do the program. And 17% said their rights had not been explained to them.
Which is why we're here.
We're
here to let you know of all your rights. And we're the only ones doing that.
Yeah, that's right. 93% said mutual obligations made their mental or physical health worse. So, yeah, this is again. And again, the government's own studies prove that, but they don't particularly like listening to their own studies when the studies have a bad result. So that's why we'll be protesting. So it's in 2 weeks from today, midday, outside the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations, which is at 414 La Trobe Street, Melbourne. So, yeah, come and if you happen to be listening.
I thought it was 410.
Well, it's 410 to 414, so basically it's a big block.
Oh, yeah, so it's a big
It's
building,
a big block,
and,
yeah.
Oh, big block, yeah.
That's right. And so, yeah, we're getting organised for that. So if you're sort of free on that day, come along and meet us. Yeah, and we'll hopefully push things along, because we can't forget the people who've already suffered on work for the dole, and who will be right at this moment, you know, working for nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I'll be playing, as there's a lot of militarism around, then I'll be playing a song by one of my favourite singers, Phil Oakes.
Militarism?
Militarism, yes.
Yeah, that reminds me. I had a go at this new app last week called Signal.
Ah, yes.
Nothing but junk mail. All I could get, right, was top secret American war plans.
Oh, gee. Nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, one of our neighbours, affectionately known as Uncle Ahmed, said, oh, I would like to have a read of that. So I just gave it to him. And why he wants to read junk mail for, I don't know. But anyway.
These apps, you can't trust them.
No.
Okay, all right. We're going to our CSAs.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
So we've got a little bit of a blast from the past now. There's a great website which a friend of mine works on called the Commons Social Change Library. So they've got a whole lot of amazing stuff about the early fights of the unemployed workers movement in Melbourne and beyond, different parts of Australia, and interests me as well because in the Depression, for example, people lived in my area in Wonthaggi just in shacks. They just set up shacks in the bush down by the beach.
Right.
And so they weren't paying rent. And in some cases they were on strike. They had no money coming in. But they lived on rabbits and lobsters.
Oh, really?
So people in other parts of the world can't believe that you'd be on strike and you'd be living on luxury food like lobsters. But it was before they all got fished out, really.
Mm.
Anyway, this is an amazing few stories, and they're excerpts from Jim Munro's eyewitness history of the unemployed workers movement in the 20s and 30s. He described the situation facing the unemployed before the federal government started providing benefits in 1945. So for thousands of people out of work, there was no assistance of any kind except through the Ladies Benevolent Society. They were a voluntary organisation that existed in practically every suburb and were made up of middle-class women, good-meaning women, a lot of them, but some of them not so well-meaning because their husbands owned butcher shops or groceries and they were concerned with getting orders for relief diverted to their husband's business. If you were that desperate and you had to apply for assistance, then they would come into your home and they'd go through and say, yes, you need assistance, but you're not up against it as yet. You've got a piano there you don't need. You've got more chairs than you require. You sell those things and we'll come back. Well, I happen to know that some of the charities still do that. St. Vincent de Paul do that. They go around home visits and before they'll hand over sort of vouchers and they do that at this moment. So they would make you sell things that are in your home and you'd cut down to a bare minimum and then they'd give you some assistance. When you got assistance, it would be...
So you had to park the Lamborghini block away.
Yeah. Well, you probably had a piano is a pretty hard thing to hide, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you got assistance, it would be a docket written out to such and such and such grocer, and you'd get a basic amount of groceries and so forth. They weren't the only ones on the rating. There were other religious groups as well. That was the only help you could get. And then he describes some of the, Jim Munro describes some of the actions of the unemployed workers movement.
Mm.
Things weren't going too well for the government. So the government decided to cut out the sustenance. Instead of getting an order, in other words, the vouchers that he's talking about, got a sugar bag with groceries in it. Well, we objected. The first day we refused to accept them. We held meetings and we picketed the place and we wouldn't let anyone in. So nobody got sustenance that week. And you can imagine now people are going, what are these people doing? But they had a plan. And the same thing happened at Fitzroy in Richmond and Port Melbourne. And there was hell to pay for a while. There were big riots down at Richmond Town Hall and a whole number of people were arrested.
They refused
to accept this bag, this Hessian bag with a few groceries in it because they wanted the proper vouchers to be able to go and sort of shop.
Right.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Because that could have been nothing. There could have been nothing in that bag if they were feeling in an unfriendly mood and non-benevolent mood. You got someone who thought, you can get by with not much at all.
Mm.
So one of them was a guy called Steve Bagley, and he was the first one to build a real unemployed organisation in Richmond. He got jailed over it. But we beat them. They had to go back to the ticket system and give them out again. So we knocked that thing out.
Mm,
yeah, good. Just a bit of good picketing and a good bit of action there.
Yeah.
So we kept on other things. We raised the question of clothing. None of us had boots and we were getting around nearly barefooted. The men got an issue of army boots. The women were a bit unlucky. They wouldn't wear the army boots, so they had a special shoe made for the women, which was almost as bad as an army boot. It was heavy. We got that issue once a year. Then they found out they had thousands of army uniforms left over from World War One, and figured this was a good opportunity to get rid of them. So they gave them to the unemployed. So the first week, we were all working around in a tunic. And then the Returned Services League, the RSL, kicked up a row. They said, what an insult to the army. This scum can walk around the streets in an army uniform.
Scum.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So, yeah, so they stopped it, and they had them all dyed black and reissued to us. Well, that actually would have been much cooler for a start, more fashionable. But that was the best thing they ever did, because wherever you walked and saw someone in a dyed army tunic, you knew they were unemployed and you spoke to them. Mm. It helped us develop our organisation.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, that would have went a long way then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's nothing
Maybe we should start doing that again.
Well, maybe we should start wearing, you know, badges or stickers and so on around. Every unemployed group had its own meeting place, a little hall or a shop. We'd have all sorts of speakers on different subjects. We had street meetings in a different suburb each night. At one point, we started having meetings at Swanston Street on a Friday night. We'd start there, and then the cops would move us on, and we'd go up to Russell Street, and then we'd head down to Little Bourke Street. Meanwhile, someone would start in Little Collins Street, and when they'd done, we'd start in Little Bourke, and they'd go up to Little Lonsdale. So they had a little bit of a sort of hide and seek with the cops. Right. You know,
pretty bad having to do that in the first place, isn't it? They're just trying to...
Well, they're trying to wreck the campaign, wreck the movement, really, by force, you know, and harassment. Yeah. And, you know, experience I've had in, say, Brisbane in the 70s, you're actually, when you have a night, something happening every night, which you could go to and you meet other people you know, that's the way you really build up the numbers and build up your strength. And so... Jim, this is an eyewitness account of Jim Munro's experience in the unemployed workers' movement. He described a powerful march with a combined union and unemployed workers' movement, 10,000 marches holding the police at bay and winning improvement of access to work and benefits.
Wow, that's a lot of strong people, especially for back then. And just think, they organised all this without... No, there was no such thing as internet.
No.
And a lot of them, you know, still didn't have telephones.
No. But the thing is, by them organising these street meetings, which is, again, how the IWW spread, you have a street meeting where someone jumps up on a box and starts talking, and then someone else gets ready, if they get chased off, to speak. And you get a lot of practice in speaking. Like we get the practice we're getting here at Wonderful 3CR. And so... You're on the move, but you're actually contacting a lot of people on the way.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
And all those areas they're talking about, Little Bourke and Swanston Street, a lot of those are just filled with these ridiculous shops now, which, you know, have sort of zero, I have zero interest in.
Well, what was it like back then?
There would have been a lot more residential variety. Yeah, or not so much, definitely, I mean, Richmond and Fitzroy would have been residential. Not all the cafes that you get down Brunswick Street, for example.
Yeah.
But, they were working class inner city suburbs.
Yeah, right.
And the centre of the city was a more social place rather than just, you know, shops, cafes.
Oh, okay.
And all the chain stores and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, but, my little area where I live, you know, within the space of 1 kilometre, I counted 12 coffee shops.
Oh, yeah, same with me. I've counted them up in Wonthaggi, and Wonthaggi's a country town, you know.
How many?
And 13 I counted.
Wow.
And we tried to start a whole campaign to find out if the people working in the cafes were getting award wages. And it was a little bit hard because everyone sort of knows everyone. It's a country town. But that's the question I ask. And same with a lot of the petrol stations. Are the people there getting paid proper wages, getting paid the award rates?
Yeah.
I doubt it somehow. Yeah, so you're listening to Breadline on 3CR Community Radio. And we are from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. We're coming to the end of our show, and we're getting ready to hear from the Eritrean Voices show. But we remind people about our demo coming up in 2 weeks.
Oh, yes, certainly.
Yeah, our demo is at midday in Latrobe Street, right near Flagstaff Station, 410-414 Latrobe Street it is. And that's the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations.
Yeah, that should be a big one.
Yeah, and, you know, again, however big our rally is, it doesn't take away from the injustice of the work for the dole program, and it doesn't take away from living below the poverty line for a lot of people and getting all the hassle you get with mutual obligations.
And
next
those
week.
Useless appointments.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Well, as I've said before, yeah, it's like the modern equivalent of digging ditches and getting SSO payments.
Yeah.
What have you got lined up for next week, Daryl, on the show?
Oh, right. Nothing.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Sorry. I got Tracy Smallwood.
Smallwood, yep.
Yep. Got an interview with her. And I'll also be joined by Danielle again, our Brad Lyne's own roving reporter, always on the spot, always in the thick of it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That should be good.
Tracy
works on the advocacy side, in the advocacy side of the union.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
And, so it'll be good to hear. I know she's been getting pretty stirred up about the way people have been getting treated, who she's talked to or got emails from.
You know, I had to record the interview with Tracy. It's 22 minutes, so.
All right.
Just over that. So, yeah, she had a lot to say. But,
yeah.
But, I've kind of whittled it down to 9 minutes. Even that's a big interview. But what she does have to say, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty
very
important.
Interesting. And,
yeah.
And important, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, bye from Jessica.
Yeah, bye from Daryl.
Yeah, so bye from us.
Bye.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.